This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 255 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com. And joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Well, I'm both excited, nervous, and a little discouraged.
Right, okay. Why is that?
Well, I saw this thing on Facebook this week.
Right.
This guy saying that on the podcast tonight there's going to be something interesting. And so it's got me a little nervous because we don't want to be writing checks we can't cash, dude.
Right, fair enough.
A little apprehensive, but so I'm very well, thank you.
And excellent.
I hope you're well as well.
I am, thank you.
Terrific,
thank you. Yes,
let's leave it on that high note.
Absolutely, catch you next week.
Thank you for listening. Yeah, absolutely. 60-second podcast. There you go. It could be a whole new genre.
Absolutely.
Mind you, the effort of downloading it probably wouldn't make it worthwhile. 3-minute download, 60 seconds of content.
Yeah. Fantastic. How's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Yeah, yeah. I've had a few interesting things happen during the week. Just stuff that sparks my little interest. I had a family friend come to one of my Understand Your Camera workshop on Saturday.
Right.
And she's a 14-year-old girl.
Okay.
And she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I mean, just gorgeous. But I haven't seen her since she was 12 going on 13.
Right.
Okay. And when I saw her when she was 12 going on 13, I took a photograph of her.
Yep.
In a lounge room, just standing in some beautiful light, and as always, I told her not to smile at the camera.
You know? Right, yep.
And I got this photograph from her at 12 going through at 13 that really just captured the moment of her adolescence about to hit her. I'm no longer a child, I'm not yet a woman, I'm just in this stage of uncertainty. Yep. There's a vulnerableness in her face. And, she was playing with my kids at the thing, but she was a little bit older playing with kids, but she wasn't old enough yet to be hanging with the adults, all that. It was all there in the face. I loved the photo. Well, she came along and she's grown like another foot.
As they do at that age.
Yeah. Which is terrible because how do you find, you can find pairs of shoes, but you can't find trios of shoes. She's buying two pairs and throwing one away. She's grown, but her face has matured.
Yeah.
Now, she's still only 14. But now when you photograph her, all that look is gone.
All the child look is gone.
Yeah, and there's now this intensity. And so I captured this beautiful shot of her that I just love. One of my, I don't share the photos of these younger people because I don't think it's right. It's once again just this stunning image of this girl, but she's just the shift in that 12 to 14 gap. It's just amazing, and it just makes me look forward to as I've been shooting my children as they age, just to see how the changes they're going to go through. It gives me this great thing to look forward to.
Nice.
So that was great. So I loved the shot I got, but just amazing what a difference a year can make.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I look at photos. In fact, only today I was, for some bizarre reason, flicking through the photos of our Western Australian road trip, which was, 15, 16 months ago now, and just seeing the change in Max in that time.
Really?
Crazy. Yeah. But again, from 11 to 13,
But here's the thing. I had to get my driver's license renewed this week.
Right.
10-year license. Yeah. Haven't hardly changed. Yeah. This kid in a year has completely changed.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. We get to a point where we just stop, Bruce. And we stop for a while, and then we just fall in a heap.
That's exactly right.
Do you know how you're getting old?
Yeah.
When you're walking down the street, right, and a photographer comes up to you and says, "Can I take your photo?" Your face is starting to go aged and craggy looking. And the more it starts to happen, the older and craggy you must be getting.
Did that happen to you, did it?
No, but it's going to. Yeah. Very funny. I did a fun little 2-minute photo shoot of the girls tonight, actually. An iPhone shoot. I was trying to get a new film on my iPhone. And
nice.
On my Hipstamatic app. And I've just got some gorgeous shots. Yeah. For a 2-minute photo shoot, I've got half a dozen photos of both of them. That's just It's just beautiful, but I'm biased, yeah.
Yeah.
I had lunch with an excellent photographer called Kristen Cook today, who's a friend of mine.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, and we discussed the difference between men and women shooters.
Right.
And it's just the emotive feel that women have versus the more technical.
I've got to ask you a question about the photo that you posted.
Oh, yes.
What the hell were you thinking?
What way?
Well, there was no light on her face.
There was a sharp one. Have you seen her? Yeah. You don't want light on her face. Oh, my God. No, I'm only being serious.
You didn't really say that.
To her? Not yet.
Oh, man.
Sorry, she, like me, doesn't listen to the podcast.
You hope. Anyway.
It was just an iPhone mucking around. The worst thing, the problem is I was doing some very stupid stuff in that same way that she was taking with her phone, so I'm kind of worried where those photos are going to show up. Yeah.
Right.
She has this knack of sending them down the track much later to me. I was at a photo of me holding my daughter, my two-year-old, above my head at the zoo. She's just sort of, she's just stretched out, and she's 8 foot up in the air. And I've got this poster in the text message today saying, "Father pleads guilty to child abuse." Just 20-year sentence. You know?
Nice.
The excuse, "I thought she could fly," was
not admissible in court.
Exactly. So it was an interesting little chat about the difference. And because she's a baby shooter, she shoots a lot of babies.
Right, weddings.
She's predominantly a baby shooter,
yep,
and a very good one. Not saying the other ones aren't, because get us in hot water. We could get banned by the people who run the podcast on the internet if we say something wrong. But she's an excellent baby photographer. But she's very much on feel,
right?
Yeah, and it's just the difference between how a lot of us love our tech and numbers. There's you watching a 400-hour video on aperture math or something. We're nerds compared to the women folk. You know, it's just that was an interesting chat.
Yeah, right.
And then we had the discussion also about I hate nice.
Nice in what context?
When someone comments one of your photos on the internet,
right? Says,
nice.
Yeah, right.
Just don't bother saying anything at all. I've decided my two least liked photographs.
Is it okay if I put an O in it and I go, nice?
If you go, oh, nice, that's okay.
Right.
If you put the O at the front, not bad.
I tend to put it after the N. It's like, nice, nice.
Nice-o. That's all wrong as well. Yeah. Oh, nice, pretty good. Nice, not so good.
Okay.
And so I've decided the two phrases I hate the most in photography is nice and I love your work.
What about you must have an awesome camera? Is that number three?
No, that doesn't really worry me. It doesn't really get up my goat. No one ever says it to me. No, I don't think anyone's ever said that to me.
Bollocks.
I'm serious, now that I can remember. I can't actually recall anyone ever saying it to me.
Wow.
But that could just be,
Or maybe you just take crap images.
No, that's it. That comes up and says, gee, you take great photos. You must have a... But no one's also come and said, gee, you take crap photos. How about your camera? What if anyone's ever had that experience?
Yeah, do they ever blame the camera if the photo's crap?
Oh, yeah, we always blame the
That's
gear.
Great.
But the photos don't work, it's always the gear's fault. Oh, dear. So love your work, hate it. Nice, hate it. I want a little sad note today as well. Well, a couple of days ago, but to talk about today. And it won't mean much to a lot of our listeners, but Cord Camera in Columbus, Ohio, closed its doors this last week or so. Been operating since 1954.
Right. And what was Cord Camera?
It was just a camera store, just a mum and dad camera store, family run for a couple of generations.
Okay.
Just yet again, another great little store.
So selling hardware and presumably running a C41 mini lab as well?
Yeah, just trying to do normal camera store stuff in a world that doesn't seem to want camera stores anymore.
Yeah. And, do you know, I was walking through a little arcade in Gosford the other day and there was, you know, one little store that, you know, is probably, I don't know, 15 square meters at most. Yeah. And, you know, and again, you know, this guy's got a C41 machine in there and he was sitting there all on his own some at, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was thinking, man, how the hell are you making a living? You know, it's gotta be tough.
He's probably not. Yeah. It's probably not. Yeah. The only, in Australia, for Australian listeners, the only hope we have is that people like Kmart and Harvey Norman and Big W, all the big chain stores that got into photo big time 2 years ago, they've all pretty much had the jacket and all getting out of it. So
right.
For those stores that have survived long enough to go through the fad that those stores thought photography, yeah, they're only interested when the numbers are big enough and they get out of it as soon as they're not. Yeah. There's no passion or love for the industry there. So they're sort of getting out of the industry now or significantly reducing what they're doing. And the stores that have managed to survive, hopefully people will start to drift back to them.
Yeah.
It's just sad, but you see another traditional old store going.
Mm. So how did you know of Cord Camera if it was just a mum and pa store?
Instagram.
Right. Okay.
Followed them on Instagram. I came across them, and I also know them through PMA, the Photo Marketing Association.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I know a lot of the US stores, a lot of the small US stores, because I'm vice president of one of their main boards, so I tend to catch up with a lot of people. But it's still just another little nail in the coffin for the industry. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a bit sad.
I can wait no longer, Bruce.
Oh, you've got to, because we've got to get through all the other stuff on the list before I get to my thing. Yeah.
Okay, you better get through your stuff quickly.
Okay. Email from Carl Hemmings through the week.
We did.
Hi, Bruce and Glenn. Something a bit different to try, but to do it. Hi, Carl. But to do it, you might need to have a grasp of Photoshop. Cheers, Carl. And it's a link to a blog post on 500px.com, and it's all about light stacking, which is an interesting technique. You kind of just have to watch the video to see the effect of it, and there's a few still images on the blog page itself. But anyway, the link will be in the show notes. Go and have a look. The tutorial that the guy does only runs about 2.5 minutes. It's as much as you need to get a grip on how to perform the actions required, but the effects are quite stunning. Had you seen this before?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, it's quite
a... I still haven't.
Oh. Oh, you are slack. You should have a look. Seriously, the visual effect of the finished image is unlike anything I've ever seen in a photograph. Yeah, it comes back to what you've kept on saying as your mantra over the last couple of months about, you know, the technology changing the way people approach photography. Yeah, this is something that. I don't think you could have done this in the analog days. I just don't think you could have ever lined all the frames up.
It's time stacking, not light stacking.
Sorry, what did I say? Light stacking. Sorry, I meant time stacking. Yeah, sorry. And basically,
oh, so I've seen that before. Yeah.
So instead of taking one long shot for like, you know, 5 minutes, the guy's taken an image like every 10 or 15 seconds over that five images and then stacked all of them together as layers in Photoshop. And then, it's just a really radical effect.
It is, especially on these moving cloud shots and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's stuff that's fairly common practice with astrophotography, you know, doing star trails and stuff is becoming a lot, because your sensors don't heat up so much and
you don't get so much noise
and all that sort of stuff. So it's not an uncommon practice, but what he's doing with the sunsets and the clouds is pretty darn interesting. It's very painterly. Yeah.
It is very painterly. It's kind of sort of, what's the Rembrandt era? Is that impressionist? No, it's not impressionist.
I don't do impressions. No. Yeah, you know, one of the I have very few moments in life where I'm truly on my game.
Right.
It's fairly rare.
Okay.
And one of those moments was I flew into the Cook Islands one night, arrived like midnight.
Okay.
So it's 15 years ago, yeah.
Now, just remind me, where are the Cook Islands?
Sort of to the left of Tahiti and the right of Samoa.
Right,
and,
okay.
And the north of New Zealand and
yep.
middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so we're flown in like at midnight, yeah, well, 1 o'clock in the morning. And so you just go straight to your room. And in the morning, you go down and set, you know, do your credit cards and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into reception the first morning, walked up to the counter, and the woman said, can I have an impression of your credit card? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't do impressions. You know.
Did she get it?
Over the head. Not just the complete. Can you, I mean, what a great line. It's just gone. You know, I was on my ball. She was still asleep. And it's just like waste. That's just like fate or just really playing with you. Because it says, I'm going to give you this great line and everybody's going to miss it. Yeah. My other, nothing to do with photography. My other previous thing, I've only had two moments in life that I was, you know, really on my ball. That was one of them. She missed it. The other one was up in the snow fields one day, a couple of years or 20 years ago up in, it's been a long time since I've been on my ball.
Yeah.
20 or so years ago, I was up in some Mount Falls Creek, I think it was, and Evan had been skiing, and we're having lunch in this pizza restaurant up there, and it's a fairly crowded, low-roof sort of thing, and there's like 300 or 400 people in the place.
Hmm.
And hanging from the roof are all these pans and stuff, you know, like, you know, saucepans and all sorts of stuff. And,
okay.
And bells and just everywhere. You know, so I'm sitting there eating pizza, and all of a sudden, I hear this clank right behind my head. And right behind me, I turn around, there's this guy just smashed his face straight into his bell. And everyone, all 400 people in the restaurant, stopped and turned and looked at him. And I've instantly gone, hey, don't I know you from somewhere? He looks at me and goes, no. I said, gee, your face sure rings a bell. Turned around and kept eating my pizza, but everyone in the restaurant heard it, and everyone laughed. It was like, yeah, that was a good moment. You know? Impression of your credit card? Nothing. Anyway. So, what we're talking about? Time stacking. Let's just put the link in.
Will be in the show notes. Go check it out.
And if you like it, I reckon it's one of those things that sometimes it's going to be awesome and sometimes it's going to be awful.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to try that one out at some stage.
There's a lot of trial and error behind it, as far as some nights it's gonna, the movement of between shots is gonna really make something interesting in the shot.
Yeah,
and sometimes the movement's gonna make it. And some of his examples to me are just, oh, that's terrible.
Right.
But some of them you can say, okay, well, I could see if they'd done this, if they'd moved this way, it could have been quite cool. So,
right.
Definitely worth it. Yeah.
Next thing I had on my list was one of the daily cartoons that appeared on XKCD. I don't know how many of our listeners are fans of XKCD. Are you familiar with it?
I haven't heard of it.
Are you kidding? No. XKCD.com.
Is this about me?
No.
Not interested.
Right, of course. This guy draws a comic every single day, and some of them are very intellectual and some of them are not. And this particular one was about photographers, and I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to read it out. I'll just let you follow the link and go and check it out. It was an absolute corker of a cartoon. So
I had an idea for a cartoon this week.
Yeah.
I don't think cartoons very often. This came to me and it's Jesus. Right,
right.
Lining up to get his papers processed to be crucified.
Papers processed.
Your ID. His ID papers. Yeah, just make sure you're not doing the wrong people.
Yeah.
Right? So he's in the queue. Yeah, think Monty Python. He's in the queue. Yeah, line the left, one cross each. Line the left, one cross. That's the thing. He's in the queue. He's walked up. He's handed over his ID papers to the Roman centurion, and the centurion's looking at Jesus, and goes, "What's the H stand for?"
Boom, boom.
And I thought, what a great little cartoon that'd be.
Nice. The next one I had on my
more,
list. Yeah, I got a few more.
Going.
Was a video of, well, this was put together by a girl called Alexia Sinclair, who is an Australian photographer. She hails from Newcastle, not far from where I'm living. But this
Hail Caesar, it's back to
exactly.
The Romans again.
Her image styling and composition are a little bit Sue Bryce-ish.
Okay.
But I'll
hold back.
I was going to say, well, I know we have some listeners who are big fans of Sue Bryce, and I like her stuff as well.
Oh, but I think she's excellent.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think this might even be better.
Well, she's an excellent marketer. She really is.
Sue, absolutely.
Yeah. And she really knows how to pose people.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
Her photos are to taste, whether you like that style or not. That's kind of
Help that. Well, but, this video that she released this week is the making of this image that she's now selling as a fine art print, and it's a girl in this sort of 16th century get up with this beautiful big brass telescope and
I know the one, yeah.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah.
You saw the video? Or no. You just seen the photo?
Saw the image somewhere.
Yeah. Really good. Really good. Anyway.
I mean, there's a moderate amount of Photoshop in the photo.
A moderate amount.
Oh. Well, compared to some people. I think it's only like 8 or 9 hours in that photo. I think some people go to the full 20,
Well, I wasn't suggesting that there wasn't any Photoshop. I was just saying I was really impressed with the final result.
Yeah, I mean, as a vision that's been realised, it's very good. Is it a photograph?
It's a combination of things.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's a combination. It's a piece
digital
of art.
It's
an artwork. It's a piece of art. Yeah. So I said it's a piece of art.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it's a photograph. It includes photographic elements.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing. Yeah. And look, I do this from time to time too, and I always call it created art.
Yeah.
I never really class it as a photograph. It's just created art. It's I pull together elements and stuff and shoved them all together and tried to be useful in Photoshop with them, and usually done a really bad job of it, and no one ever sees them.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the whole Photoshopping side of things, because the next thing that I had on my list was the HIPA grand prize was handed out this week, and the winning image by a Chinese photographer, Fu Yang Zhu, who just picked up $120,000 for his image. I'm assuming it's a he. Forgive me if I'm wrong. For the overall grand prize winner, the theme was creating the future.
Yeah.
And it's got these, kids in a makeshift classroom, but it's like a dirt floor, and it's obviously a third world country, and the walls are just, this dark brown.
It could be what's left of first world countries in the future.
Yeah, well, that too. and it's got this teacher up the front who's supposedly writing on the wall with chalk because they don't have a chalkboard. And there's some really, compositionally, it's a great image, nice light, whatever. But when you actually look at it quite closely, it appears that the arm of the teacher that is drawing on the wall with the chalk looks like it's been very badly photoshopped into the image. So the guys at Petapixel have actually sent off a request to the people who judge and adjudicate the HIPA awards, saying,
if you've related to the winner?
Yeah, or just asking, did you guys miss this, or what's going on? But as of today, there is no further information on it.
That could be the future. People's arms look weird.
Maybe.
People's arms look Photoshopped.
Maybe.
Hey, you never know.
Who knows?
Hey, it could be his vision of the future. Who's to say he's wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be. You just never know. It could be some sort of strange body transplant. Yeah. Don't you pick it on future
whole,
medical tech.
Whole
dude.
Generation of humans who are born with one arm, and we have to Photoshop on a second arm for everybody.
You never know. Yeah, it could be a virtual arm. It could be a virtual arm that does all the heavy lifting for him. You don't put your own arm up there because all the blood runs out. So you have this animated arm that goes up and does all the work. And you can leave it there whilst you go off and have a coffee.
Yeah. Now, last week you brought to our attention.
Sorry, I apologize.
That's all right. Images of the Iditarod.
Oh yes. Is that what the big news is? You're going to go do it next year?
No. Oh. No. But Adam Davidson posted a link this week about which Iditarod was this? This was the one where there was virtually no snow. Did you see these images?
No, of course.
Oh
not.
My God! These poor dogs. They were having to drag these.
That was the desert Iditarod. Yeah,
pretty much. They're having to drag these, sleds across, packed gravel. And because
that's that climate change for you.
Yeah, yeah. So when you see the images, you know, you see, God, there's some pretty rough terrain that they had to, you know, do their work across.
Is that like rough as in
R-U-F-F? Yeah.
Rough terrain. Yeah, exactly. Rough terrain. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm on a roll of bad jokes tonight, dude.
Yeah. And I do have to bring to everyone's attention, for those who aren't on Facebook, the latest David Clark poster.
Oh, Bruce Springbok. No, that's
String Bean. That was a classic. I laughed so much when I saw that. So well done, David.
My favorite song was Sony the Lonely.
Yeah.
Very
If you're not
go and grab the photograph and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I will do that. I will do that. Actually, David, yeah, I'll reach out to him and get him to send me a copy of it.
Yeah.
So I can put it in the show notes.
Marvellous.
Anyway, was there anything else you wanted to cover?
Oh, I got bunches of stuff.
Well, tell us.
So the Nikon D4S
apparently
is having problems with Lexar Pro compact flash cards. They don't want to talk to each other.
Really? It's just that one camera and that brand of card.
And here's this. It's only two batches of those cards. Isn't that weird?
What?
So there's two batches of Lexar cards.
Yeah.
And the camera's having problems working with them.
So was it a manufacturing fault with the Lexar cards?
Who knows? It was only a fault on that camera.
Wow.
So they're working fine in other cameras.
What? And
Nikon's put out a service advisory.
Yeah, right.
So it's obviously a problem with Nikon themselves for some reason.
Wow.
But that was kind of bizarre.
I wonder how many cards are in a quote-unquote batch.
What? Exact good question.
Like, is it 1,000 units? Is it 1,000,000 units, you know?
That's a question that...
For the ages.
Good. Yeah. Right. Let's put it up on Wikipedia and see what it's on there. Answers.com and see if I can come up with that. I actually know the marketing manager for Lexar. I could always get in touch with him, I guess, but he might not be wanting to talk about it. No, it's obviously a problem with Canon, because Nikon are putting
the advisory. Yeah.
Advisory, yes, that's the word. Now, I've been looking at these robot portraits this week as well.
Okay.
So this guy's got a robotized arm that moves his camera around and does portraits. He does 600 photo portraits of people's heads.
You know? Sorry, 600 portraits
600, of the- 600 shots. So the robot moves. Oh, across wow. someone's face and does 600 shots. It's a bit like doing a gigapan shot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then you can zoom in on like you do with a gigapan. It's basically
gigapan
portraits.
That's a bit scary.
And the detail is freaky.
I would imagine.
You know, I zoomed in some little old lady's face.
You start doing iridology on them.
I did it during the day, and I tell you, I'm going to have nightmares about this woman's hairy lips tonight. I'm telling you. they've zoomed right in on the flash head that was used to light the shot in the reflection of
the reflection of the eye.
See,
wow!
You can almost see what settings the flash head set on. very, very, very bizarre. And I came across another gigapan image tonight, just a reasonably new one, I think, of New York City from the top of the New World Trade Center.
Right.
And so it's a view of New York like never seen before. And it's a full pano of New York with the gigapan ability to zoom right in street level and see details. And it is fantastic. It's on the Time website.
Wow. So I didn't even realize that they were building a replacement World Trade Center. Is it in downtown Manhattan as well?
Note the dead air there, people, for the listeners.
What did I miss?
Well, it's kind of been a big thing since 9/11. Talking about it for 13 years.
What, they're building a new one?
Yeah, and all the plans for it. And it's the largest, tallest building in America.
Oh, wow.
And it's on the site of the old one.
Oh, okay. I thought they were building a mosque there or something.
No, that's down the street. No, they wouldn't be building a mosque just there. You probably want to put that a little bit further down. Well, so there's a memorial there that also starts with M.
Right.
And it's got an I in it. No, mosque doesn't, though, does it? No. So it's got an M in it.
Right.
So there's a memorial there, and then this building, this whopping great big building, and it's huge. I saw it completed last time I was there, and it's like, this thing's massive. So the shot from the absolute top of this thing, and it is a stunning image. So it'll be in the show notes for people to go and waste some time looking around, see if you can see anyone doing who knows what kind of stuff. And then I came across this site tonight, and going back once again to how is digital starting to change photography.
Oh yeah,
and this company is called Alma Lens, Lenc, AlmaLens.com, and they're a mobile imaging company, but they have all these remarkable software solutions to photographs. They have this thing called Super Zoom, where their technology zooms in rather than lenses, and it produces more detail than an optical lens would do.
Sorry, hang on. You said this was a software solution?
This is a software solution that is basically a digital zoom. They call it a super resolution zoom. So as you zoom in digitally on the image, it produces more detail than the lens could have done.
Okay. So it's obviously looking at adjacent pixels and calculating an intermediate value so that as it zooms in, it's filling in the gaps, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what I thought, Bruce. Yeah, I'm in concurrence with you there, my friend.
Right, okay.
Absolutely. What the hell are you talking about? But once again, so they have this super resolution zoom.
Yep.
Then they have dynamic range optimizers, which they say is going to, there's a chance to replace HDR because it's expanded dynamic range.
Yeah.
They've got remarkable low light imaging capabilities. So they say a typical mobile camera requires at least 100 lux to be able to produce a reasonable image.
Right.
Theirs can shoot blurless at 10 lux.
Wow.
And that's significant. High definition panoramas.
Right.
Amazing stuff. But they do best shots. So the apparently most mobile cameras these days can shoot between 30 and 60 frames a second, obviously with the movie capabilities.
Yep.
But you can do a burst of these 30 to 60 frames of a scene, and the software picks out the best one, and that's your still image.
Right.
So, yeah, if you're doing a moving subject, or if you hold in low light and you got a bit of hand movement or whatever, it'll pick out the best of your burst of images.
Wow.
Object removal. So it's pretty much a cloning tool. But let's say you try and take a photo of you've gone on holidays and you're at the Eiffel Tower.
Yep.
And you're taking a photograph and somebody's walked past.
Yep.
It'll recognize that movement and give you the option to delete it.
Wow.
And it takes that and fills in the info behind.
Nice.
I think it does burst shooting and then picks, okay, this thing's moved between shot A and shot B and shot C. They do sequence shooting, so multiple images in one shot. So if you're doing like a skateboarder jumping, you get shots.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Up to 10 times across the one frame.
So like strobing across the one frame. Yep.
Yeah. And then you've got group shot, where you do a burst of shots of a group.
Yep.
And using the third-party face detection system that's in most of these phones these days,
yep,
you'll pick up, okay, that face has blinked in that shot, so it replaces the head from the one where they didn't blink. It does all this stuff automatically,
That's awesome.
And remarkable noise reduction and sharpening. But all this software-capable technology built into mobile phone.
Wow.
So I'm saying. So imagine
is this an algorithm that they are going to license to like Apple for iOS and
that's
to Google?
What they do. That's what this company does. That's all they do. They license out this software to other companies.
Wow. Wow.
And and I'm sure they've got a bunch of people already on board. And they've also got a desktop solution where you can then import the images into your desktop and it does an even better job.
Jeez.
So there's the software that does photo stacking to increase your depth of field, and it'll do all that. So imagine you do a 1 second shot with your mobile phone at 60 frames a second, and all 60 at slightly different depth of field.
Yeah, right.
And
or at a different, you mean at a different focus point?
Yeah, different focus point. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, and then stack them all together for extended depth of field.
It stacks it instantly.
Wow. Know? Well, it's funny you went there because I was just about to say that the one thing that mobile phones as cameras lack at the moment is the ability to do shallow depth of field.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just the size of the sensor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that'll be the last, as far as I can tell, the last major hurdle before phone cameras really put DSLR out of being useful.
Well, at least compact cameras. Yeah, I still think SLRs will, unless you can control exposure more accurately on compacts, there's still going to be, for the time being, some limit.
Surely that's just a software algorithm as well.
You would imagine so. But that was pretty cool. So that stumbling across that company, I thought, well, they're doing some stuff.
Yeah. Now, you've sent me all the other links. You haven't sent me a link for that one. Have you got that there?
I'll do that for you now as we speak. So that's, back to our friend Richard Clark again, is how has digital changed photography? It hasn't, but it's going to.
David Clark?
No, Richard Clark. He asked that question.
Oh, okay.
And so how's it changed photography? Well, it hasn't, but it certainly is.
It's on the way.
I came across this interesting canvas stacking system. So let's say if you're printing out canvases, or you've got one awesome image, but you want to make the thing massively huge.
Yep.
Well, this is this system where you can stack multiple canvases, and you break your image up into lots of small pieces, and then stack the images all together, as in put them as a tiled layout on your wall. And this guy is doing 4 meter wide canvases with an 11 megapixel camera.
Wow!
Yeah. So there's all the blurb is going to be in the show notes. Plus, there's a tutorial to show how he post processes his photos to get the best out of them.
Wow!
Which is pretty cool. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Couple of last things.
Yeah.
I was reading an interesting thing on the as photographers, you should all look at the New York Times lens blogs that they have.
Okay.
They do a lot of stuff it's all about photography is on the lens blog. But one article I was looking at was about the prevalence of young war photographers in the current conflicts around the world.
Oh, okay.
My phone buzzing. Go photo the moon, I'm told. There we are.
Oh, okay.
I have to wait. I'm busy podcasting. If I get a chance, folks, I'll go out and photo the moon and see why it's any good. See, people text me when good stuff's happening. It's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's as big as the planet just past Neptune and before Pluto. Anyway, I'll, science geeks know what that is. Look it up. So they're saying there's these guys, these experienced war photographers, they say, or conflict photographers, they prefer to call themselves.
Right.
These guys just showing up in the middle of battlefields with their iPhones.
What?
To shoot. They've traveled to these countries to shoot, and they're shooting with their iPhones, uploading as they're being shot at, and they're blogging and doing all this sort of stuff. They've got no contracts, they've got no insurance, nowhere. They're just showing up and going out and getting involved.
That's crazy.
Well, much to the chagrin of some, but some also say, well, everyone had their first time. Running into a battle with just an iPhone for protection. it's probably not my cup of tea.
No.
A friend of mine does a lot of conflict zone photography.
Oh, really?
And, Dave Honnell, Dave?
Yeah.
So he's a conflict photographer.
Is he really?
That's one of his main things.
Wow.
Outside of being Prince's personal photographer for a while.
Oh, okay.
And jealous as all get out when I went to his house, and there on the wall is a picture of Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra together that he took and then signed it to him.
Yeah,
Dave,
right.
Love you, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
So he's done some other stuff, obviously, as well. But he spends a lot of time in Afghanistan and all in the war-torn regions shooting.
I knew he'd been to Afghanistan, but I didn't realize he was shooting in the conflict zone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everywhere he goes, he's got guys walking with him with machine guns to protect him.
Wow.
So he's not just there with an iPhone with no protection. He's got bulletproof vest on and guys with machine guns.
Wow!
So that's a different world. If I haven't already, I'll send that link through to you for those who they're interested. It's kind of interesting as well. I thought.
Ooh, yeah.
Once again, a lot of people are interested in conflict photography.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things as photographers we kind of get a little bit fascinated by about the heroics that these guys do.
Got to take a real special kind of person to want to do that, I reckon.
Yeah, well, one of the experienced guys who was commenting in this article about these young guys, a sentence down further, oh, and Dave was killed in blah, blah, blah. So he's dead. The guy who was commenting already died in conflict.
Yeah, right. Know? Wow.
Not long after you know, talking about that thing. So it's him and wow. I think three other photographers at the same time. So jeez. Pretty massive. And the last thing I want to come across is I came across a thing called Cinemagraph Pro as a piece of software.
Okay.
And it's basically it's kind of like produces the animated GIF of the 2000s rather than a really bad. Sort of three frame GIFs of the 90s,
right?
Yeah. But they've got some great examples. They've got this shot of this gorgeous girl holding the camera, leaning on a goldfish bowl, and so it's a photograph.
Yeah,
but the goldfish is swimming around the goldfish bowl.
Nice.
So the way the software works is you shoot a section of video.
Yep.
Capture a still image from that video, then you can paint in where you want a loop of footage to be active.
Oh wow.
So everything is static. So there's one shot, this great model shot, this girl standing there, and then just some of the tassels on her feathers on her dress are moving.
Yeah, nice.
Just stuff. You know? Yeah. There's a whole other dimension to it. So,
there's quite a market for that in wedding photography too.
Oh, I'm sure there is, yeah.
Imagine, you know, doing that kind of stuff for wedding images and then just displaying it on a digital photo frame in your house, you know, and it's just that subtle movement that just gives it something extra.
Yeah, they have the confetti falling down around you for life.
Yeah, forever.
I'm sure there's some stuff. Yeah. So that was pretty cool as well. I'd like to say it's on. They've got a 92.5% discount on their software at the moment.
Wow, 92.5%.
Half. But the problem is it finishes today, the day of recording.
Oh, that's no good.
Unless it's just one of those cons that. Yeah, they look at what date you're actually looking at the website and they say, no, we're finishing today.
Perpetually finishing today.
It's probably worthwhile checking another stage or waiting for a time when they have the discount again.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they'll.
So how much do they charge for this?
Yeah, I didn't even look. But I did download the free trial.
Of course you did.
I'll hit the buy now. Hang on a second. Because I'm just not sure if my. Oh, look at that. It's volume. It's $227.30.
With the discount?
I'm assuming. Yeah.
Ouch.
So you don't want to be, fairly keen on it.
That means it's like it's $1,800 software.
Yeah, you want to be fairly involved in it.
Fairly keen,
Maybe we'll Google around and see if we can find more on that. But once again, it's very specialist software, so maybe that is the dealio. But if it's awesome, yeah. I'd spend the money on it. Yeah, that sort of money. I wouldn't spend the $1,800 on it, but
That would make it more expensive than Photoshop.
Well, double, triple the price.
And I'm pretty sure you can do animated GIFs in Photoshop.
But this is a little bit more than animated GIF. It's pretty special.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool looking. My concern with it was it's called Unique Live Masking Technology. Artists can preview their living images in real time and output to HD or 4K hybrid photographs. So the hybrid photographs, they're not GIFs, dude. Yeah, dude. It's a hybrid photograph, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll bet it's still got a GIF file extension.
No, I think it's a .nerd. Right. But look, I got to say, we live in a fascinating time where we can see stuff that we've never seen before, you know, other than back in the days of the flip books. but they have got. Oh, look at that. Rendering your output as either an MP4 or a high quality GIF. There you go.
There you go.
So it's not just a GIF, dude. It's a high quality GIF.
Nice.
That makes all the difference. More importantly, you can share on Facebook. And let's face it, that's all it's good for. That's all it's good for, really, isn't it?
Right.
You want to put it on Facebook and look at cool stuff I did that you can't do. That's the only reason I want it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about me. Oh, look, I can hold on no longer.
Okay, all right.
I need to know.
Fair enough.
Plus, the moon's rising. It's probably not so good as it anymore as it was 5 minutes ago. So,
look, by the time we're finished, it'll be down around the other side of the planet. So forget about it.
Shocking.
Just
okay.
Quit. Give up on the moon. Okay.
What have you got for us?
Here in Australia, we have a non-profit organisation called Kidney Health Australia. And every year, Kidney Health Australia run a charity event called the Kidney Car Rally. Now, every year, the Kidney Car Rally begins and ends in a different location across Australia. And it's been running for 26 years. And one of the people I work with at the Australian Radio Network, a guy called Lou, who's our building services manager, he's been involved in 22 of the 26 Kidney Car Rallies that have been run, like the last 22 of them. And about 3 years ago, the contract for the photography of the Kidney Car Rally was up and due for renewal. And he told me about it, and I said, yeah, that sounds like fun, you know, and I put my hand up. And they ended up deciding that they were going to stay with the photographers that they had had for the last couple of years, and they renewed their contract for a further 3 years. That contract was up this year, or basically finished after the rally last year. And this year they said, we want to put it out to new photographers. And so I had already, like Lou had already put me in touch with the national marketing manager for Kidney Health Australia and said, you know, he said to me, get in touch with her, tell her who you are, tell her that, you know, we've been talking and express an interest. So I did that months ago. Anyway, she got back to me early this week and said, look, we're ready to start looking at appointing a new photographer for the Kidney Car Rally for this year. And she said, would you be interested in putting a quote together? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And so we had a quick chat about what was involved. And I said, okay, leave it with me. I know you're sort of in a hurry to get this together, so I'll get a quote to you in the next 48 hours. I rang her back a day and a half later, and I said, look, I've crunched a few numbers. I've come up with a figure. Do you want me to run it by you? She said, yeah, please. I told her. She said, that's pretty much bang on what the other crowd were charging us. We'd like to lock you in. And I went, awesome. So later this year, in August, I will be the official photographer for the 2014 Kidney Car Rally. Now, the reason I said on Facebook earlier in the week that this was might be of some interest to our Australian listeners is because I need another photographer to come with me. Now, we're talking 9 days of rallying, covering 3,500 kilometres, and there'll probably be a day of travel at either end of that because the rally starts in Gundagai, which is just west of Canberra. So for me from Gosford, that's about a 4.5-5 hour drive. So I'll be driving down the day before the rally starts. The rally will then go for 9 days. It goes from Gundagai across through the ACT down to the coast at Murrimbula, down into Victoria through Orbost, Sale, then north to Yay, from Yay across to Ballarat, from Ballarat across to Mount Gambier, from Mount Gambier up to Bordertown, Bordertown back into Victoria to Heathcote, from Heathcote up to Mulwala on the Murray River, and then the final day from Mulwala up to Cootamundra and finishing Cootamundra, and then, of course, drive home afterwards. So I've been awarded the contract. I need another photographer to come with me. All expenses are paid, and there is a salary involved for the 9 days of your involvement. It's not super duper money, but you wouldn't be doing this for the money. You'd be doing this for the fun of being involved. Having said that, the money's not really stingy. I mean, it's reasonable money, but you know, anyway, we can talk about that. But anyway, so that's what I wanted to share with everyone. I'm super excited. I am really looking forward to shooting this event. It's going to be awesome.
Bruce, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, dude. You dropped out just a couple of minutes back. You said something about as an announcement and you were excited. Sorry, what was that?
You'll have to listen to the podcast for once.
No, oh, congratulations, dude. That's an awesome thing.
Thank you, man.
Well done, you.
Mate, I'm really stoked.
As you should be.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And as you know, I love getting outdoors and going to places in Australia that I've never been to. And
You do. I'd love to be involved.
Would you?
Not. No, not really.
I didn't think you would.
You know, I would, with one exception.
Yeah.
I don't like heights.
Heights?
Yeah. So they're going to be driving over hills.
Right. But you
don't do that.
You're at ground level the whole time.
Funny about that, isn't it? Yeah. Doesn't make a difference. Phobias are weird things. Otherwise, I'd love to be involved, except I think the technical term, I went to a psychiatrist years ago, and I think the first word was chicken. I can't remember what the other it. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Look, well, that's an awesome thing. I'm throwing it out there to the Australian list. Well, actually, why am I
living in Adam Davis? You should get Adam Davidson. He hasn't got a job.
Believe me, that crossed my mind. And Adam, if this is something that interests you, give me a yell.
Oh, sorry, you wanted a good photographer, didn't you?
Well, I was just about to say, why am I even limiting this to Australian photographers? I mean, if someone from overseas wants to come over here and join me, hey.
Someone like from like Tasmania or King Island or any other overseas countries want to come in?
New Zealand.
Well, where? Not that far. That would be ridiculous. Madness. Yeah, exactly.
If it sounds like it's something you might be interested in, drop me either an email or a personal message on Facebook, and you know I can fill you in with some more details. I can tell you the dates. We leave Gundagai on Friday, the 15th of August, and we finish in Cootamundra Saturday week, which is the 23rd. Is that no? That doesn't sound right. That'd be about right. It's August. Yeah.
I might join you for some of
15, 22. Yeah, 23. Yeah, that's right. So 15th to the 23rd.
Ballarat's only an hour from my place. I could put that much effort in.
I couldn't take you. You'd shoot for an hour, then you'd want a nana nap and 3 days off.
In your porties? Yeah. We'll talk. I think I might come on one of the legs with you.
Okay.
Just for fun. I'll volunteer for free.
Okay. If you want to do that.
I'll come hang out with you. Take some photos. It'll be fun.
I'll have to check on whether or not that's allowed because I'm not sure what the, like, presumably there's going to be occupational health and safety issues and all that sort of stuff that I'm going to have to deal with. So, I'd love to have you along. So.
Yeah, so
but anyway, if there's someone listening who thinks that, yes, they could get the time off and they'd like to come along.
Or you're already unemployed.
Or you're already unemployed. Look, I'll tell you what the money's like. Like, it's $1,000 in your hand to walk away with.
Pretty good.
Right? For 10 days. Now, admittedly, that's for 9 days, so you're only earning $100 a day. It's like I said, it's not brilliant money, but all your expenses are paid, like all the travel, the accommodation, your food, your drinks, all that's provided. So there's
all non-alcoholic drinks.
Yeah.
Get in early.
Yeah.
Some of those people, they're going to be wanting to drink a fair bit.
Yeah, and you're going to walk away with it at the end with $1,000. Now, you're going to have to pay your own tax out of that. That's your problem, not my problem. But I'm just saying that that's
a good deal.
That's what's there.
So a lot of this stuff is all volunteer anyway.
Like I said, you'd be doing it for the experience more than for the money, you know. And that's why I'm doing it.
Imagine the shots you get for your portfolio.
Oh, mate, tell me about it. I am so looking forward to this. It's just going to be a hoot.
Absolutely, you've got to shoot the people. The faces, the people, the places, the sunrises, the sunsets, the sun in the middle of the sky. Everything.
I don't know if there's going to be much time for sunrise and sunset shots because basically that they are going to be long days, I'll tell you now.
That's what I mean. You're shooting them taking off at sunrise.
No, we're not.
Really?
No. The reason being because each day is broken up into four stages. So basically there's a stage that goes from breakfast to morning tea time, then a morning tea to lunch stage, and then et cetera, et cetera. So what will happen is every morning
left is stage left.
That's right. Yeah. Exit stage left. So every morning there's what's called the zero car, which is like a marshal's vehicle that heads out about.
There's a marshal in town. That kind of marshal
heads out about an hour before the competitors hit the road, and we, the photographers, will be going out with the zero car. And along the first stage, and we will have been advised by the course director of areas that they think might make great vantage points for interesting photographs. Because basically, you're looking for, you know, good turns where the cars are going to get sideways as they come around the corner. Yeah. You're looking for, you know, cattle grids where they're going to get some air, you know, things yeah. like that. So they'll recommend spots to us. And then what will happen is both myself and the other photographer will each have a handheld UHF radio. When we find a spot that looks promising, I'll be dropping the second photographer off, and then I'll
then
be
driving. When you find a spot that looks really promising, you go for that one.
That's right. And then I, set up at another spot. And then what happens is the cars will basically leave the starting point at 1 minute intervals, and there's about 65 competitors. So basically over the course of an hour, you're going to shoot 65 vehicles coming past your location. And then the
so you do that four times a day, effectively.
Only twice a day, actually. And I'll explain why. So basically, after the last vehicle's gone by, then another marshal vehicle comes along, picks up the other photographer, and then when they get to me, photographer jumps in with me, and then we head off. And what we do is we bypass while the rest of the crew are either stopped for morning tea. We will then sort of scoot past them and get to the third stage, which is after the lunch break, and then we do the same thing again. So after lunch, when they all head off, we shoot them again.
So what we're saying is you're talking 18 hours work for $1,000. That's not bad.
Per day, yeah.
Wait, not per day. You're only doing 2 hours a day.
Not quite.
You're doing an hour of the an hour. There's 60 cars going past you for an hour. Yep. You drive to the next one, do another hour.
That's right.
And by the sounds of it, if one's in the morning, one's after lunch, there's even time for a nap.
There's even time for a nana nap.
It sounds like my kind of work.
It's custom made for Glenn. But then in the evenings when we get to the next town, we will be photographing the evening, the meal time, and they have, you know, social events and that sort of thing. So we'll be shooting some of that. So it's
going to... Burnouts down Main Street, that kind of stuff.
Say again? Burnouts?
Burnouts down Main Street.
Exactly.
Mooning through the main...
That's it. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I'm super pumped. I'm really looking forward to it. So.
How could you not be? How could you not be? Plus, you get to see some of our lovely country.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think I've been to Mount Gambier when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I haven't been there since, so I'm really looking forward
to it. I run workshops down there from time to time. It's very nice.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. So, anyway, I'm throwing it out there. If that sounds like it's of interest to you and you could get the time off and you want to be a part of it, give me a holler and, hopefully
I want to come. I want to come along and do some of the evening events. I don't want to do the shooting.
I know. You would be awesome at that.
I'll come along. And it shouldn't be anywhere near as many OH&S issues by that either.
So. No, absolutely.
So, So
you could come to either Yay or Ballarat. They're both
close. No, I want to go somewhere interesting. Oh, okay. Tell the missus I could go for 3 or 4 days.
Come up to Heathcote.
No, I want to go up to where's the furthest you're going to?
Mount Gambier, then Bordertown. Then Bordertown back to Heathcote.
Okay.
Then Heathcote, Mawala, and Cootamundra.
I'll tell it was going past Broken Hill.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really, really hoping that we pull this off beautifully this year and get offered the contract next year, because next year they're doing Alice Springs to Orange. And that would be massive. I would love that.
A lot more interesting.
I love the Outback. Yeah, totally.
Outback Victoria, no, not very interesting. If you like, you're there, your grassy fields full of hay and stuff. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. Lovely. For days upon days upon days.
So anyway, on that note, we'll wrap it up.
We will. I'll go see what this moon looks like.
Okay, matey. Well, I will look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, take care, everybody. Yep. Look after yourselves. And if you can't be good at it.
Absolutely. See you, mate.
See ya.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.